This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's talk tech with Mike Agarbo of The App Show. Mike is the host of that program, which you can hear Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern time right here on AMI Audio. And today, Mike joins us from Vienna, Austria. Mike, in the first hour of the show, we were in Vancouver and Halifax. Now we land in Vienna. We're globetrotting today, my friend.
We're all over the world.
What's life like in Vienna right now?
It's actually quite warm. I think it's almost 20 degrees here. So I think I packed too many sweaters. I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts.
Once a Vancouverite, always a Vancouverite. Bring in sweaters with you everywhere you go. Hey, Mike, let's jump right into this. So the dating app, Tinder, we're all familiar with them. You're swiping left, you're swiping right to finding your life partner. Well, now they've got a little addition here called Plus One. So for those who are unfamiliar, what have they added here with this Plus One feature? What's this all about?
Well, I think this is a feature that they're rolling out to their members basically to allow you to search for a plus one for a wedding that you might be going to, for example. So if you don't have a date, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you can go into your Tinder and basically troll for a stranger that you can take to your friend or family wedding.
I think maybe family wedding, you got to be a little careful with that. But, you know, sometimes you're an outskirt in the friend wedding, and that's not a terrible idea, bringing a little plus one. So any word on whether or not Tinder is having some success or people buying into this plus one feature?
Well, I think so. They say that mentions of that feature are up 30% over the past year. So it looks like there is, I guess, some sort of interest. Still, it kind of wigs me out. I don't know if if I was single, I would want to bring a stranger to a wedding. Obviously, there's so many different things that could go wrong with that. But I guess they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah, there is probably some risks that are with open bar or, again, you know, family members. There could be some big assumptions drawn there. But having been someone who's gone to a couple weddings solo over the years, you know, it's nice to have a dance partner when it's first dance time, right? Like, you know, it's a little guaranteed first dance partner. I think there's something to that.
Is that our biggest problem, finding dates to go to weddings?
It's certainly a problem in my life, Mike. Certainly a problem in my life. Hey, listen, you're someone who's obviously taken a lot of time looking at a lot of these tech headlines. How would you evaluate sort of the perception of online dating and its popularity over the course of the last couple of years? Or has it already become a little bit passé?
I don't know. I just think it's like an integral part of the whole dating scene now. You know, back in my day, we didn't have that. We had like chat lines that you could kind of do. Phone dating, Lava Life and places like that. So this whole thing is kind of foreign to me. You know, I'm married, happily married, so I'm not going to be using any of these anytime soon, just to be clear. But, I talk to friends, and, this is how they meet people now. You know, I guess you just don't go to the grocery store anymore and hope to meet someone there.
Yeah, not just macking in the parking lot of the gas station these days. You know, you gotta use different formats. Hey, Mike, let's jump over to a different way of people linking up online and a way that's not necessarily being embraced in China. Microsoft announced that it's shutting down its localized version of LinkedIn for China that's been available since 2014. Why is LinkedIn making this move?
Well, it's interesting. I think if you look at a lot of, the Western social media sites like the Facebooks and Twitter, even Google, they're not allowed in China. They're basically blocked from the citizens being able to use them. So it wasn't a big surprise to me because LinkedIn really is kind of like a social network for business. And, the Chinese government really likes to control the messaging that is basically going out on any of these social apps. So they basically reached out to Microsoft and said that they have to moderate, the online, chats on LinkedIn. But, that's almost impossible to do, as you can imagine. So, apparently a lot of academics and journalists were getting their profiles blocked in China. So I guess it just got to a point where Microsoft decided just to kind of get rid of that feature and just concentrate on being a job board, essentially.
Mike, walk us through a little bit more about maybe some of the history or how long China has been pressuring foreign tech companies within their borders.
Oh, this has been going on since the early days, you know, at least a decade here. You know, if you do go over to China, you know, you can't get onto Facebook. You can't use Twitter. You'll have to use some of the Chinese alternatives there. It's interesting, though, Microsoft's been trying to, you know, roll with this. You know, they have their Bing search engine. So, you know, they are allowed in China, but they are censoring basically what kind of search results that you can get. So, for example, you know, if you're in China, you're not going to be able to look up controversial topics to the Chinese government, like Tiananmen Square massacre, that type of thing. So I don't know how much longer that's going to last. Like, I can just only imagine how much stuff that would have to continually censor, you know, in their different products. So we'll have to see.
What about a company like Apple? What's their relationship like inside the borders of China?
You know, I think it's kind of similar. You know, obviously Apple's a little more kind of on the hardware side, but, you know, if the Chinese government doesn't like an app in the Apple App Store in China, you know, Apple basically yanks it. You know, it's a huge market for these companies, as you can imagine. I think, what is it, like 1.3 billion people live there? So it, you know, they buy a lot of stuff, and they buy a lot of iPhones and other types of tech, and they love Western tech. So, you know, they want to play ball. They don't want to lose that opportunity over there. Same with all the movie studios and that. They're always trying to make sure that, you know, their big tentpole, you know, movies that are coming out, you know, adhere to, you know, the Chinese censors.
While we're talking about Apple, Mike, it came out of the news this week that the microchip shortage has really hit Apple, and it's going to impact this year's production of the iPhone 13. So walk us through this microchip shortage that really seems to be making its way through a lot of the tech companies.
It's just a perfect storm right now. You know, we've got the chip shortage, which is affecting everything from toasters to cars to computers. And then just the whole supply chain is in chaos right now because of the increased demand coming out of the pandemic. There's not enough supply, and there's just not enough shipping containers to bring all this stuff to market as well. I've been talking to some of my friends in, you know, retail and the supply chain. And, you know, to get a container from Asia over here, the cost has gone up, you know, 5 to 7 times. So it's a huge thing. So with Apple, you know, they are cutting their forecast for their iPhone 13 by, I think, 11%, which is 10 million phones. That's, you know, over $1 billion, you know, in revenue, essentially.
Wow.
So
wow.
This is a big, big deal. And this is, you know, my call out to the listeners right now. If you want to get any tech gift items, buy them now, because as we get into November, later November, and into December, there's going to be huge shortages.
Wow, the demand is wild right now, Mike. And as you say, the supply shortage is significant. So we're going to make you put on your economist hat for a second. Do you think this is something that we're still going to be experiencing the ripples of heading into 2022?
Oh, for sure. And I think right into 2023 as well. You know, obviously, they've got to ramp up production again. They've got to work out the shipping issues as well. But, you know, it's going to take a while for this to get all straightened out. You know, we're going to see a lot of inflation happening in the different countries as well because of all of this. So it's tough. It's going to be a tough time.
Mike, just as we're saying goodbye, you are indeed in Vienna. What's on the menu tonight for dinner?
Schnitzel.
Oh, yeah. I'll meet you there. I'll hop on the next plane.
Fantastic.
Mike, thank you. Enjoy your time abroad.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.